In a cold, faraway world, a battle is raging between evil and good. From the stars that came here to Earth, caught in their struggle through the whole universe. Robotic warriors.
Perceptor here. Welcome to Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. And now, without further ado, here is Weird Wolf. Now, where did I put that chorus stop? Ratchet, can you take the chorus stop?
Hey guys, welcome back to another Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure. I'm your host, Plasticon, and today I am joined by Cyburn.
What's up, everybody?
And Megamus.
What's happening?
And tonight we are going to be talking about something that a lot of you guys probably aren't very familiar with. You might be, but we are talking nuts and bolts. And when we're saying nuts and bolts, we're not just talking about Transformers. We're also talking about another little obscure line that some of you guys know very well as GoBots, also known as Machine Robo in Japan.
The distant cousin.
The distant cousin, but yet the predecessor, which is very interesting, considering they came out before Transformers. They were actually out during the Diaclone ages and such, so it's very interesting. We're going to get into talking about like just the design overall and the way they were constructed and yes, all the little bits and pieces and the variations as well. One of the big things that we tend to look at GoBots is the silly cartoon. I mean, how many of you guys out there have actually like seen the cartoon and just absolutely was offended by how bad the cartoon was?
It was bad, but, you know, I mean, you could sit there and nitpick Transformers all you want, too, with the wrong coloring or the wrong voices and all that stuff. I mean, GoBots, it is what it was. I mean, it was a child's show, and it was entertaining for children. So if you go with that mindset that it is very simple, it is a neat show. If you're trying to get any depth out of it, you got the wrong show. So that's my take on it.
That's very true. What did you think of it, Cyber?
I've never watched GoBots. I think I've seen one clip of Leader One flying through. I've seen two clips. One of Leader One flying through like buildings, and then one where it looks like a couple of dudes are having their way with the Leader One in the middle of a forest.
I've actually seen that clip, but that is a fan clip that was not in the show, but
no, it wasn't.
Yes,
well, that's my exposure to GoBots.
there's been a lot of, we'll go with liberties made about GoBots relating to sexuality and stuff, but I mean, it's a kid's show, okay? I mean, it's a kid's show. As far as the show goes, I mean, it didn't have as much influence as Transformers, but I mean, the toys were still there. And in my opinion, the only thing it was lacking was that very few of them came with weapons. That's what I liked about Transformers. You had weapons, you had parts, you had pieces, and stuff like that. GoBots, they kind of summed it all up with all the laser beams came out of their hands. So that, you know, neglected the fact that they needed weapons.
That's, you know, very so true. I mean, like, there's only like a, like you were saying, only a few of them actually came with weapons, and the weapons weren't even held in their hands. It was for their alt mode.
It was usually for the old man. The only one that I can think of off the top of my head was Tank, mm-hmm. where it had a turret on top, and it had a turret that went into its feet, which would make the lasers for the front in tank mode. But when you transformed in, the front tank turret would actually fit in his hand as a gun. But for the most part, and Cop Tor, the blades did fit in his hand because he did use that as a weapon in the show.
Right. Psykill as well, the engine block portion turned into like a some type of like gun thing or something for him. Yeah. It's very interesting on the design for them, because Psykill actually had that, and he actually had his front wheel that came off that became like a shield. So yeah, they think about it, Psykill being the bad guy, he had more weapon armament than Leader One did, because Leader One had nothing.
Right. And the neat thing was, is if you actually watch the show, that was the neatest thing. When they transformed, their transformations were so simplistic, they were the actual transformations of the toy. I mean, literally. When Psykill would transform, his legs would spread apart, his arms would pop out, the two wheels would swing out and go onto his shoulders. And that's what you do when you transform him. You know, the only difference was is he had the engine block, which you could or could not use in Robot Mode. But for the most part, they actually were more show accurate, and they were definitely more show transformation than Transformers.
That's very true. They try to, like, in the United States, for those who do not know, it was owned by Tonka at the time, the GoBot name was. And those being owned by Tonka, the Tonka rep went to Japan and saw these during the same time that Transformers were kind of coming out. It was around sort of the same era for the United States. And whenever they released these things under the Tonka brand, they released a cartoon series with it. And like we were saying, it's very, very, very childish. But if you watch the Japanese version, which is called Machine Robo, it's a lot more serious. Yeah. And it's interesting because there's a lot of things that happens in Machine Robo, and a lot of toys that were released in the under the Machine Robo name that was never seen in the United States. And quite a few of them have a lot of engineering quirks that you see in current Power Rangers and current Transformers. One of them being the combination modes. Everybody that has collected GoBots in the United States are very familiar with Puzzler. But there's also a couple other ones that they had. He's holding up Puzzler right there.
There's Puzzler. There's a G1 Puzzler.
Yeah, it's six cars that combine together into a gigantic robot.
And it actually came in a gift set, as if well, it's carded, like this. And if I remember correctly, I think it also came as like a JCPenney exclusive, like the Battle or the Power Armor did.
Yes.
So it would actually, the same box, only it was, there was no color to it. It was like black and white. It was just like a plain white box with the writing. It had the same graphics, but it didn't have color. So that was the difference in the boxes. It came in three different ways.
Right, and I'm going to show a screen share here of something. I mean, I did go to eBay to find this photos, but obviously you guys can tell right here. I'm going to go to this portion right here. You can see there's are five robots. They're very, very simple robots that are clones. And then there's one definitive one here. And they combine together to form a larger robot. But they also have an alt mode where they're all jets. And they're very well detailed. And these are Machine Robo. These are the toys that they're releasing in Japan during the same time they're releasing Crazy GoBot stuff to us here in the United States. This particular one being the Robo Rescue One Force. Now the funny thing is this isn't the only line they had like that. They had drill tanks that were that way. They had police cars that were that way. They had motorcycles that were that way. They had all different kinds of like five sets where it had one crazy looking robot that had a little more articulation, and the rest of them were drones that just plugged in to turn into this bigger one.
So basically you've got a predecessor to Power Core.
Right, kind of. But it almost had more of a Power Rangers vibe because the way the things were. It was almost like a bunch of drones that just plugged on versus them actually having personalities.
Right.
Well, the personality in the actual cartoon was the main center robot. The rest of them were just like power suit add-ons, kind of like the GoBot power suit that a lot of you guys are familiar with, where they're just little bitty power suits that you can fit a die-cast GoBot into, and the GoBot itself uses this as battle armor. This was more or less on the lines of there's humans controlling the drones, and then you have the robot that was controlling the main thing, which was very interesting because it was a lot different compared to what most people were used to. And that's why they didn't bring it over to the United States, because they thought it was a little too out there. So they created their own cartoon continuity in the United States and gave us that silly thing that we call GoBots in the United States. Everybody laughed and calls them the Walmart Transformers. But
they did have their problems, that is for sure.
Right. But the big thing dealing with this entire line is there was a lot of things that came out of this line that most people don't even know about that are just completely awesome. I'm trying to find photos for the other one, but if you want to show off the Monsterbot one while I'm looking for this, go for it.
Yeah. Like I said, everyone knows about, you know, Puzzler. Puzzler. Here's some bots for Puzzler. And I was just taking them apart, so there's the foot. But he actually had a nemesis, which was Monstrous, which here he is right here, which is comprised of six monsters. And we were just discussing this before. One of the hardest ones to find is they did this in Japan also, and they had more of an earthy, more dark tone with highlights. And his name was actually Satan. And very cool-looking robot, very hard to find. Monstrous is pretty hard to find, too.
Now, do they have individual robot modes, or is it just six guys combined into one?
Yeah, here's one of them off the bat. And, you know, I mean, their transformations are like most GoBots. They're not very difficult. But there's one. That was the arm. And forgive me, I don't remember the names. But they all do transform into to six robots, as well as they also transform into monsters. Let me see if I can get this.
And might want to add that these things have a ton of die cast on them.
Yes.
That entire robot weighs more than a G1 Devastator.
Oh,
and the same thing with Puzzler, which a lot of people, you know, you got to think Devastator was the pinnacle. This was the combiner when Transformers very first came out. You didn't have Scramble City. You had Devastator was the only one that you can get that was a complete combiner for Transformers. And then you had things that surpassed it that were already complete die-cast in the model of those two. Those two were actually predecessors to Transformers as well, because they were there when the Tonka rep checked it all out. That's why you see Puzzlers everywhere. The other one is a little harder to find. He's very expensive, though, if you actually try to purchase him.
He's a tough one to find, especially because all the joints are very... And there's a lot of joints. They're just a lot. And because of the die cast, if anyone knows anything about die cast, where the die cast meets the plastic, that's generally where you get the friction and the looseness. But you get a lot of die cast. So with these guys, they tend to be very loose and floppy. So finding one that's nice and tight, it's going to be tough to find. But as you can see, not impossible to find.
No, not at all. So. I'm still looking for one more picture I want to be able to take up.
I just wish I could remember the name of them. I wish I could remember the name of them. I know they did they had the Super GoBots, but they had this line, and I'm gonna try and find the name before we actually bring it out. Mm-hmm. But as far as the Super GoBots, we'll go into this, since I have this handy. They then decided that they were going to make bigger ones. And I don't know what the reasoning was, if they wanted to go to a different price point or whatever. But and they made new characters. But they did a Super GoBot, Leader One, Psykill, as well as other characters that were also in the normal line. And then they did other ones. And for the life of me, I can't remember this one either, but it is a VW Bug. Now, this box is actually pretty rare. It actually is a Volkswagen, and it is a DX Robo Machine. So this was actually before GoBots. But it is just chock full of diecast. I mean, I'm going to say like 80% of it is diecast. So they talk about diecast being a lost art. It wasn't with GoBots.
No, not at all. Anytime you actually go look for any type of GoBots, I have seen like KO versions of this. I cannot remember this guy's name, but he's like a bulldozer. But I have seen knockoff versions of him done in like some like rainbow colors where he's completely plastic. I would stay completely away from that thing because I've seen him absolutely shatter where you're supposed to bend the legs up in order to turn him into his little bulldozer mode, which literally takes no effort whatsoever to do. I mean, there you go. Bulldozer. Done. Very easy. But one of the ones I really want to get into here to show you guys is a predecessor to your triple changers, guys. Triple changer that came out before, you know, we ever heard of triple changers. And one of these is by the name of Argedon. Argedon is a he's pretty much a robot that has the ability to have a it's got three modes, technically four, because you got a robot mode, you got a Gerwalk mode, you got a jet mode, and you've also got a battle fortress kind of mode where it looks like it can kind of roll on these treads. It also has a firing mechanism where it actually fires little teeny tiny BBs. I don't know if you guys remember back in the 80s, you used to have these guns that fire little teeny tiny BBs. This one here fired little BBs. And it also had a battery pack for a laser light mechanism that would turn on. This thing was jam-packed with gimmicks. Very hard to find. It's a very awesome robot. It's got a lot of cool, like, just the magenta color and the white. It just looked really, really neat. It had a lot of, like, bits and pieces. You know, it made it completely unique. And we have never seen any of this stuff brought into Transformers, like, to this scale that I know of. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of any Transformers that have lights and sounds and actually fires BBs. This is the only one that I've even heard of. But Argenon's a really, really interesting robot. It is from the Machine Robo line. It is one of the two triple changers that I know of. I'm still trying to find the photos for the other one, but that's the one I've got currently at the moment that I'm looking at.
Well, they did another one that was similar to that. It was called Fossilsaurus.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find pictures of this. I actually had it at one time. It was similar to that. It was a combiner. It was three bots that would combine and make this prehistoric kind of T-Rex looking thing. But it had a cannon on the side that also shot the little plastic BBs that you were talking about.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's from the same guys that actually
I know the box artwork is the same. It had the big MR, which is for Machine Robo, and it was similar. So I'm sure it was. I'm seeing if I can find some pics.
Right. While you're looking for that, I'm going to show this one here off. This one is the Wing Liner Robo. It is basically kind of like your guys' Power Rangers. This literally has four portions of the train that combine together with the center portion that turn into a gigantic robot. But this is the kicker. This was actually a transport where you can put more of your GoBots or machine robo vehicles inside. You can actually transport them in it. So it was basically a rolling mobile base for all your combining machine robo vehicles. This thing is probably one of the coolest things I've seen engineered. And I wish, you know, Transformers would have latched more onto something like this, because this is kind of doing like a playset on the right scale. It is almost like a Power Rangers vibe, because you guys remember the Power Ranger Megazord that had all the opening bits where you can actually plug the other Rangers into it and it turned into a gigantic train. Well, this is a predecessor to that even. So I wouldn't have been surprised if Bandai saw this was like, oh, we can make a Power Ranger Zord out of it. But this to me is probably one of the coolest.
It is possible. Here is Fossilsaurus. It's actually four robots, and it combines into this cat right here.
Oh, it's a Rock Lord one.
And I remember that. It was under the Rock Lord, so it came later, but I remember it came with a ton of parts. All these little parts, not just the tail, but the gun that actually shot the little BBs.
Mm-hmm.
It came with all these little armor bits that actually made, like, the antenna for the head, if you look right here. The antenna for the head, the armor for the arms. All that stuff was separate. And just a neat thing. Now, unfortunately, I also know the downside to GoBots, where they decide to make alt modes like this. Okay? I understand this is not very pleasing. But it evidently was necessary so you would get this cat right here. I mean, come on now. You know, you got to give and take.
Well, you don't like your robots turning into a pair of lights?
I mean, let's look at this. I mean, come on now. I give both ways, you know. I mean, I'm for them, and then there's parts I go, ugh. But then again, you know, there's some Transformers I look at and just, you know, you kind of shriek a little. You know, wheelie, or, you know, maybe, you know, some, you know, jump starters, whatever, you know, this, you know, but overall, you get it, and you put him in this mode, and this is a badass, I mean, it's tall, too, this thing is, I'm trying to figure, I'd say he's taller than a G1 Jetfire. It doesn't look like it, but he is taller than a G1 Jetfire. It's pretty
big. Yeah, I mean, that's one thing a lot of people don't understand. I mean, even with that R-Jet, and that thing is absolutely huge. It's not small.
No, we're not talking deluxe here.
But we're talking like Voyager or bigger.
Yes.
Like a little, well, yeah, much bigger than a Voyager, more or less liter size. Because this is from an era where toys were meant to be big. They weren't meant to be little teeny tiny things. And these, like, I mean, Sideburn, I know that as much in the monsters and, like, creatures and the whole entire thing that you're into, I think that right there would probably be something that would probably appeal to you because of what it does.
I was one of the Rock Lords.
Yeah. Now, see, these are the Super GoBots, and, like, the one I have is right here. And I really wish they would show what the regular GoBots look like, because they would come up to about their... Maybe their calf now. Maybe
I actually have the perfect scale right here because I happen to have the larger version of Leader 1 and the actual Leader 1. Now, see, you can tell that the Super GoBots were basically twice the height. Basically, what they did is they took the exact same mold, same engineering, everything on this is identical to this. The only thing I can see that's different is instead of him having, like on Leader 1, instead of him having the wheels on the back of his arms, they actually integrated all the transformation bits, and it's all die-cast within the back of him, so that way he actually has folding out landing gear like a normal jet would. Now, there are times that they went ahead and changed that kind of stuff around so it would fit the aesthetic better, make a better-looking one, because technically to people that were out there collecting these leader size ones, literally, these were meant to be the collector's kind of market, kind of niche, because they had more detail. There was more into them, you know. These things felt more like something I would be cool to stick on a shelf because it's like not, it didn't really feel like as much as a toy as this one did, because this literally was like something that would end up in flea markets and stuff like that left and right, where the larger ones really wouldn't. These were a lot more harder to acquire because they were much bigger, they were more detailed. They just felt better in the hand than these did. These felt like something you'd give your 3-year-old, the smaller ones would, and the larger one would be something you'd give your like 12, 13-year-old. This is the 80s, guys, we're talking about, like the 70s and 80s. So,
you know, the
demographics were a lot different.
Time period.
But one more crazy combiner I want to actually show you guys is the Siren Gary Robo.
That's a mouthful.
And I have a feeling that you would actually dig this one, Megamus. This is a gigantic semi that is a police semi. It's for law enforcement. This thing is literally a rolling base. Now, if you do purchase one of these, it comes with a motorcycle and a police car. They are non-transforming police car and motorcycle. They don't transform. But the trailer itself turns into the body of a gigantic robot, while the cab portion turns into the head and arms portion. As you guys can tell, you can see that, you know, the large robot basically has these big, clunky, gigantic arms. It's very Power Ranger-ish, but it just really fills in the aesthetic of how a playset should be designed, especially for that scale of a toy. Because you think about all the machine robo, little smaller robots, they're around maybe like your mini-bot size for your G1 collectors out there, or your Legend size for you newer collectors out there that haven't really gotten into any of these. These would actually scale with that very well and play very well. It had a great play pattern. There's a lot of people out there don't know much about the machine robo stuff, and these are the ones to actually look for when you guys are out and about trying to get a hold of this stuff. Now, I know Brett here happens to have maybe 2 or 3 of the GoBot bases.
I know I got the one over there, which was the machine robo.
Right.
I think the other one's in storage. Was the looked like a little actually looked like a robot that folded down, mm-hmm. became a ship.
Yeah, it became a
simple transformation.
Yeah, it's a very simple transformation. It literally had 2 portions that come out on the sides that would create arms. And it had like a fold down portion on the very front that would fold all the way down for its base mode. But then when you didn't want it in base mode, you would fold up that portion of the ship, leave its arms out, and it was basically a robot. It basically what it was a space shuttle standing on its end with robot arms sticking out.
Right.
And when you want to put in space shuttle mode, you put the arms down, they pushed in a little bit, and then you lay the shuttle down, and there you go. And the crazy thing is you could fit like, was it like 5 or, I want to say it's between a number between like 5 to 7 GoBots inside that thing when it was like in full base mode.
Yeah, it just depends on which one. It's kind of like the power suit where some would fit in, most would, but there were some that didn't. So you had different sizes. So if you had a lot of the smaller ones, you could definitely get more in there.
Right. And then they came out with the other one, which was, well, the one we just talked about, that one is for what's called the Renegades. That was the Renegade ship. And then the Guardians had this one that looked like an AT-AT walker from Transformers, Star Wars, sorry. For you guys out there that don't know what an AT-AT walker is, that's that big four-legged walking thing that looked like an oversized dog that carried around the troops.
It's the snow camels.
Yeah, snow camel as well.
Let's just face it. If you don't know what an AT-AT is, I'm going to give Jason there your address, and we're just going to go slap you because you should know.
Yeah, you should know by now.
What's an AT-AT? I know what an AT-AT is.
AT-AT.
Oh, here we go.
I called it an AT-AT when I was a kid, and everybody that grew up during that era calls it an AT-AT. But basically, the GoBot vehicle If Brett would bring up a picture, it'd be awesome.
I'm working on it right now. Okay. I got another picture that I want to show you.
Okay. But so this talking about thing,
the power suits. There was actually three power suits.
Save it for later.
This one is super hard to find. Super hard to find because it actually came with more armament that would peg onto it. So they actually did a red one, which in Machine Robo doesn't really go into the Guardians or the Renegades. So they came up with this. I'm working on it. And the differences, as you can see, well, I made a small picture, but you can see the differences in the color of the chest, the face, everything.
Yeah, that's what you're showing right there. That is the Renegade and the Guardian. The Guardian's the good guys, by the way, if you guys don't know. There's a demographic for your Autobots and Decepticons. The Guardians were the Autobots. The Renegades were the Decepticons in the GoBot version. Now, Machine Robo, they were more or less rescue guys that came to help out.
They were like this.
Yeah, they were all pretty much almost on the same side. But this version he's showing right there, that is the Japanese version, which has a red chest, and the head is white on that one, I'm noticing. That's not silver. It's not red. It's white.
I'm actually trying to find, there was one that was different, and it actually came with more armament. It came with more guns and everything. This one seems to have the same as the other two. So I'll see if I can't search that one.
It might be like a deluxe version or some different type of that
but they
variant.
Have so many. And I actually just pulled this up for the first time and I thought this was cooler than shit right here. Look at this. I'm sorry, but that's neat right there.
Yeah, that's some pretty awesome deviant art on that particular combined robot.
That's Monstrous right there. That's the basic Monstrous, not the Satan that I'd love to find. I was actually trying to find the others.
Try to bring up a picture of the Satan one while we're talking about it.
You heard of him? He'd love to find Satan.
I would love to find Satan. No, yeah. Robot. No. No. I'm not doing that. We're not going there.
It's a robot.
All right? We're not going there.
We're talking about robots.
That's right.
But anyway, let's... I guess we can go into talking about this. Everybody is, like, infatuated with RC from Transformers. And I find this hilarious because there's, like, two that I happen to currently have right here on my shelf of the female GoBots, which were known as Smallfoot and Crasher. Smallfoot and Crasher. And Crasher was almost a psychotic woman. She had the craziest abilities. She was able to stomp on the ground really hard and cause earthquakes, and the earth just literally split in half. That's how crazy some of the gimmicks were that they drew.
I've seen women do that. I mean, literally. So,
but Crasher was a Daytona racer. If any of you guys are out there trying to find her, she is a black Daytona racer with a number one. That's a variant. The white is the Japanese version, by the way.
No, they actually did it in the U.S. too. They re-released Psycho in black. They re-released Leader One
in blue. And I guess they just did
a second series. Yeah, they did.
Yeah, you're right. I forgot all about the second series, but I know for a fact that a lot of those colors came from the actual real colors that some of them were in Machine Robo. But this. Crasher obviously is a black car with a number one on it. It says Crasher on the side of it, if you can find it, but it also has red and white striping, and the red is almost kind of an orangish red. So if you guys are on eBay trying to find this particular robot, that is usually the colors it comes in.
Didn't they do an homage to that GoBot with out of Classics Mirage?
You are absolutely correct. They sure did. They did homage that. And there's a lot of people that are not that familiar with that and don't get the freaking scheme. Yes, that was known as Double Clutch, correct?
Yep.
I believe it was Double Clutch that they had reissued as that. And
Hey, Mike,
Crazy Color.
is this picture familiar to what you were referring to?
Maybe, yeah.
If not, guess what? Unfortunately, there was more than one instance when this pose
Actually, no.
occurred,
The one I
and
saw was in a forest.
yeah, so
This is another one entirely.
as you can see, this was an everyday occurrence, and we're just gonna leave it at that, okay? We're just gonna leave it at that,
Now, there's
and
always
I'm gonna
some
take it off the
crazy
screen.
thing
I'm
like
gonna take it off
that.
the screen there.
Yeah, please do.
It's so easy. I mean, I gotta do it. I gotta do it. You're talking about making fun of GoBots. They make themselves so easy to make fun of. Who hasn't seen this? Who hasn't seen this? If you haven't, you need to go out and YouTube it.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah,
Yeah,
it's
I've
all
seen
they
it
do. I
before.
think if you type
It's
in
from Robot
GoBots and
Chicken.
Transformers, you'll get this. It is freaking hilarious.
It's actually from Robot Chicken. That particular skit is. But yeah, like GoBots actually has like a real cool charm about it. I mean, we were talking about like all the engineering and such, and I mean, I'm just like Smallfoot here. Smallfoot's legs are completely die-cast. The chest is all die-cast, but the truck body that is all on it, including like the head portion and all that is all plastic. But the wheels have like a rubbery kind of texture to it. So there was rubber and die-cast in these toys.
Oh,
And
that was the other thing I was going to say. Even like I just pulled up the puzzle I was talking about. You've got on the right the front and the different front variations on it, but that's the basic box version. And then you have the I believe it was JCPenney was the mail away set. Like I said, it's in all just white. And then they had the individual colored one or boxed ones. But we're talking every one of these had die cast. Every one of these had rubber tires. They didn't skimp out. You know, I mean, look at Transformers. They quickly went to plastic tires and anything to cut corners. And, you know, they didn't. You know, GoBots, they were plastic tires, die cast the whole time.
Right, and a lot of people want to complain about like ratcheting joints and such, and most of the time, I mean, even I cannot remember for the life of me what the name of this dude is, and he's like a little alien, but he turns into some like space car.
Vamp.
He got
It
really
was
yeah,
Vamp something.
Vamp.
It's just Vamp. I
Yeah,
was
Vamp,
like,
that's
he's
right.
got these,
but his eyes are like a metallic paint. Metallic, so he looks like he actually has bug eyes. And his arm transformations, I don't know if you guys can hear that. There's a bit of a ratchet joint in these, and that's the thing. These things completely surpassed half of the engineering and such that we were getting out of, some of the Transformers we were getting. I mean, these
Well,
toys are the size of a Legends and the size of like a mini bot, and most of those mini bots when we got them from Transformers didn't even have any kind of ratcheting whatsoever.
much less articulation.
Exactly. And these things have more articulation too, which was crazy for the time. I mean, that's why, a lot of people are like, oh, well, these were cheap and they always fell apart and stuff.
Right.
And it's like, they really didn't fall that much apart.
But
It's
I mean,
because everybody's so used to using, handling a transformer,
let me see here. Now these things came out in. Let me look at the 85. All right, I think this was the second series. So, Monstrous Mania came out in 86. But look at this. Look. I mean, it's as I knock it off, I pushed it out. They're very tight. They hold a pose. I mean, there he is holding a pose right like that. I mean, and that was done with the old ball and socket. It wasn't even done with the ratchet. They came up with different ways of doing it. Now, with the only thing that I could say about the Transformers did is how do I say it? They made them all the same. All the connectors for the Gestalts were the same, so that you could swap them out. And for the heck of it, while I was sitting right here, I did it. And I was like, I wonder if one of these guys from Puzzler could fit as an arm for Monstrous to see if they would actually work. And they start to, but then they stick out like that. So, no, I would say they're not made to swap like Transformers.
Right. Well, that's where, you know, Transformers himself, like the whole Scramble City concept, some people were like, oh, well, that happened when Hasbro took over. No, it did not. It did not. That happened during the tail end of Diaclone. Diaclone was working on doing a Scramble City format for their toys. And the design behind swapping up parts and limbs and stuff like that, that was a new concept. Machine Robo didn't really have that other than the ones that I showed you with the drone bots and the one single thing where the only thing you can do really was swap the arms and swap the legs, much like Predaking for most of you guys out there. But when it comes to those, like he was saying, they didn't really have like a Scramble City aspect. They were slight concept, but I could probably see you getting hold of the one that they call Satan and taking the bits to be able to mix that up with a Monstrous. Or I can never say his name.
Monstrous.
Monstrous. Sorry. I'm a bit tired, guys. Had
a oh, by the way, tonight, so. And I'm a pure, devout Christian, but I'm looking for Satan. So.
But the big thing is dealing with that particular like set. I mean, it'd be very interesting to see somebody that's actually got both and Scramble Citied them around enough to just take different photos to see the look on other people's faces and see that, hey, they do combine.
Now, are you ready to see the differences? Because when you see the differences, I found a picture side by side. It's amazing. Just the differences in just coloring can add to a character. It is, in my opinion, it's just amazing. The darker colors, the face, I mean, it makes him look more ominous. Overall, just a great figure. But there you go. That's Satan right there.
Yeah, and the big thing I like about the color variation is the one that they call Satan that seems more or less like that would be like the bad guy variant. And then the Monstrosaurus would be like the good guy variant. Because if you look at it, one's a lot happier looking than the other.
Or maybe you'll love this. Or maybe the Satan would be the bad guy and the Monstrous would be the G2 representation.
Very true. Very, very true.
Brighter colors. But still bad, you know. So kind of like the G2 concept that we have.
Do you know if one was a limited release or if it was like a predecessor release to the other one or not?
All I know is the Satan is extremely hard to find. I can't find that daggone thing to save my life. It is so hard. The last time I saw one, it went for $3. And I'm talking loose. And that's for a GoBot, guys. $300 loose GoBot.
Yeah, I think the last time I saw it on eBay, it went for like $550.
Yeah,
it went for a stupid amount. It actually had the box too. That's what was crazy. It had the box and everything.
I've never seen a box for one.
I ran across one. This has been months, dude. I would say like 9-10 months ago or something like that. But I was just messing around, looking around to see what else.
The box itself.
But it had the box. It literally was like a box, and it was assembled inside the box, inside this foam tray, which was really, really, really cool. And one of the biggest reasons why a lot of you guys out there don't realize it, the GoBots, most of their like battle suits and all that stuff came in a crate with a foam container.
Yes, the old foam. I love that stuff.
Well, they didn't come like... Well, there were some 80s toys that you would buy that were in box, but when you pull it out of the box, it had like cardboard and stuff that just kind of pushed it to keep it from moving around. These were in trays, which was awesome. of a really nice collector's
niche. Stop thinking about it. You got Omega Supreme, Jetfire, Prime, Megatron. They all came in Styrofoam. The big hitters.
Mm-hmm.
Aside from the blister packs, almost everything else, GoBots came that way.
Yep.
Came in Styrofoam.
Even like the larger the larger leader class GoBots, most of these came in a tray. And a nice box, too. A very nice box. Most of them were packaged in robot mode. I think there might have been a couple that were packaged in alt mode.
There you go, right there. But, see? Styrofoam.
And that's another thing I want to get into. When it came to the combiners, and this is something that, you know, still kind of baffles me to this day, that Devastator came out and had all these parts. It was crazy. You could pull these parts, you can stick them on them in alt mode and give them like extra weapons and stuff.
I know where you're going with this.
But Puzzler had everything integrated.
Everything was
integrated.
This Puzzler, you can see the instruction booklet, is complete. Okay? I have a piece of the Styrofoam missing, so I'm holding it. That's all it came with. 6 bots. That's it. Because all the combiner bits were integrated into the bots. All of it. And we're talking, everything was either, you know, it had plastic and die cast. Everything was held together. And, like, I'll flip it up. There's a fist. That's where the fist was. And you take the car for the leg. You just flipped it out, popped it. That's the leg. It was all integrated. It didn't need any parts. It had no bits. Nothing like that. Which, you know, I'll go back and I'm doing, you know, pros and cons. That was my biggest thing. My biggest letdown on most of the GoBots is they didn't have guns and weapons and stuff. Well, they didn't have combiner bits either. Even this monstrous right here has no combiner bits. All of it is 6 robots. That's it.
Right, like by the original definition.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's what was cool about Monstrous. I mean, his arms, basically the feet of the two robots became claws.
Yeah.
And it was ingenious. It was a great design. It had a nice anime aesthetic. It looked very menacing. The wings off the other creatures makes its shoulders just stick out massive. You didn't have these extra parts to plug on to make it look like that. It literally looked like that. And I
got to know. Mike, what do you keep laughing about?
He's giggling at me.
I love the Facebook page. Brian Johnson.
Oh, God.
Oh, God, Brian is back. Guys, our internet troll, Brian, from Canadian Bacon.
They're calling him a troll. Wow.
Is back.
All right, so here's the first thing he does.
Yes! There you go, pants mode. I told you. Yes!
There you go, guys, pants mode. What could it contain? And that's hilarious. And he's absolutely right. We were referring back to that dinosaur bot that we were talking about with the firing mechanism.
And he provided us with this picture.
Oh, God.
Kudos. That is.
The whole hound trying to push the water out of Spike because he was about to drown thing. What were you thinking, Hasbro?
Obviously not what you're thinking right now.
Exactly.
Oh. See, I had these pulled up. I actually did own a GoBot as a kid.
That one was one of the best. That actually
It was more intricate in how it transformed.
Very intricate.
Yeah, I liked this guy as a kid. He's probably in my backyard somewhere, buried deep beneath the earth.
Well, I'll tell you what, Mike, while I'm out rummaging the sales and stuff, I will find one and I'll give it to you free of charge because you need another piece of your childhood back. Because that is actually an awesome one. It's a P-38 Lightning for those guys that are on our audio cast that turns into a bipedal robot, which is, it's just crazy looking. It's cool.
And what's it look like? Seriously.
P-38.
The color scheme looks like Hooligan. Oh, a G2 Hooligan. Well, I'm sorry.
Not
Hooligan. G1.5 Hooligan.
Yeah.
The color scheme.
Sort of.
It needs the camo, but it's similar.
It's true. It's very true.
I'm sorry. I was just stretching to get the 1.5 in, to kick it.
You're in your 1.5.
I'm sorry. So, I'm just going to leave it at that.
We all know how we feel about that anyway.
Yes.
Anyway, Brett, I know that you have got hold of some really, really obscure jumbo size craziness, and I know you've got something that's bigger than these leader size GoBots that you have acquired.
Well, I know that I got something bigger, but I don't want to brag. Let me. Excuse me while I whip this out.
Now, you know what GoBot I've always wanted was Tux.
Oh, I had him when I was a kid.
The limousine is awesome with the top hat.
Yeah,
you can't tell me that. That's not
amazing.
Awesome.
I thought that was one of the robots that had the most charm, because didn't he have a monocle as well?
Yes.
I want to say he had a monocle. I know he had a top hat, but he had a monocle.
Not only did they think about this guy's character, but they integrated it into the toy. That is awesome.
And I'm
pan and black.
Hard pressed to think that was a Tonka release during the time, because a lot of guys don't know this, but when it came to the actual toy engineering behind all the GoBots. So the ones that were released in Japan that were re-released in the United States in different color schemes. There were some exclusive ones you can only get in Japan, but there were exclusive ones that they made especially for when the GoBot cartoon came out, and I believe Tux was one of them. There is a there's a Ferrari, I know that has like a really crazy, no, it's not Ferrari, it's a Fiero that was designed specifically for.
You gotta love it. The GoBot Fiero. Gotta love it.
The Fiero. The Pontiac Fiero. If you guys don't know what one of those are, look it up. God.
Anyway, enough on that. I will say one thing. That was one figure that when I looked at that they redid the coloring for the Series 2, mm-hmm. I thought, take Tux and make it a black limousine, and I'm sold. And they never did, to my knowledge.
Take Tux, make him a black limousine,
instead of white.
He is a transforming Monopoly man.
Yes, that would be awesome. It writes itself. There you go.
And then they had the, I think it's like an old, I want to say it's like a 1930s or 40s. It looked like a Rolls Royce from that era. That I believe his name was Old Timer. If I'm not mistaken, he was red.
I don't remember.
Let me look that one up, because that one was cool.
But I'll go ahead and go with my jumbo, super sweet jumbo Psykill, who takes up the whole screen.
And hold that back further so that way everybody can see the actual size of him.
We kind of got an idea how big this is. And we'll just, there you go. There you go. Right there. Puny. Anyway. And then I actually found this, and if anyone could tell me who made this, I would love to know. But I found a tank that is about the Lux size. And he should only be about that size. And once again, I'll throw out my little...
It's almost the leader size, isn't it?
Well, I'll throw out my little legend size guy. And I'll even throw out a GoBot size. So, hey, he's about 1.5 the size. He's not quite twice. But I have no idea. There's no markings on it. But super pumped to get it. Got it super cheap. Because you can find stuff super cheap. If... What? You do your research and you save your money. Absolutely. There you go. Super cheap. And this thing, I've never seen another one like it. Now, I'm not saying it's one of a kind, but I would love if anyone could tell me where this came from.
Right, because it doesn't have any markings on it, does it?
Nothing. Has nothing.
That's got to be a high-quality KO, then.
Yeah, but I don't care. I love it. I love it.
All right. I'm going to show you guys. This is a homage. Transformers released a robot during the movie age for the Bay movies and called it Reverb. Well, this is the original one called Dart, and it is a crotch rocket. Obviously, you could tell just from the paint scheme alone, this literally was an homage motorcycle they had released. It was Reverb, which was basically an homage to this guy. Good old GoBot Dart, which is pretty cool. Also known as Handlebars. But he had a really, really interesting look to him.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
the robot mode is not...
The robot mode looks pretty neat.
Yeah, he has a pretty decent robot mode. This one here is missing a handlebar. That's kind of ironic. But it's a very interesting looking transformation. It doesn't look like it's too complicated, but it gets the point across. And I honestly think it's probably one of the cooler motorcycle versions. I'm not going to say Scooter because Scooter was not the greatest. I thought this was much better than Scooter.
I love Scooter! Scooter was awesome! I just love the name Scooter. That's awesome. Scooter. They didn't come up with, you have to remember, you have to remember, it is the 80s, but once again, I'm going to play the devil's advocate on this, and their names were very weak. Very weak. Who's the leader? Leader, one. All right, who's the bad guy? Psy-Kill? Crasher? I mean, it was horrible. They had, what is it, Turbo?
Turbo.
Yeah, Turbo. Ugh. They didn't have, well, I guess I could say cooler names. Transformers had cooler names. They did.
Yeah. I was looking through the
name Turbo. This one,
which is a neat toy. I mean, he's neat.
It's supposed to be a super sports car. I would say this is more of a Ferrari F40.
It's just a generic.
That's a generic Ferrari F40, dude. It looks just like a Ferrari F40. I'm sorry.
You think it does?
Yeah, it looks just like one. Feet,
I mean, spoilers.
Yeah, actually, because the Ferrari F40. Actually had a large, well, that's the thing, it's stretched. If you shrunk it down and maybe drop down the spoiler just slightly, it literally looks like a Ferrari F40. So I think that's where they got the idea. I'm trying to find a bot mode for you guys, that way you guys can see that too. But very cool. I do like GoBots a lot.
Unfortunately, or fortunately, I do have quite a number of these carded. But I wasn't able to go and get them. So I might be able to do that at a later show. But I just love the artwork that they did on the individual carded ones. Mm-hmm. Even from the Series 1 and Series 2. I mean, you just got to see some of the things. And there's a lot of guys that are really into variations. But it's funny. You'll see variations in Transformers. And I see the same thing in GoBots. So it's not just, you know, exclusive to Transformers. So it's just little things that you pick up on. But that's one thing I love is different variations, and like when they change the colors or the card backs, or they'll even have a card back and change warnings on it. Now, I know that's kind of being super geeky, but that is a running variation. It is a card back variation. But it's still a variation,
right? Yeah, that even goes into where they start doing like international releases, where they're forced into putting more
languages on the card back. The laws are different internationally, so they have to add these. And if you remember, especially in the GoBots, the Transformer GoBots, all the little cars, internationally they had to add a sticker. For like includes small parts or whatever, choking hazards or whatever, because where they were shipping them to had different rules and regulations that they had to adhere to.
Exactly. And the ones that you're referring to are more of the play school ones that they released. Wasn't that in like the early 2000s?
No, I was actually talking about the, once again, you could call it G1.5, but where they did the cars that were similar.
Oh, you're talking about the ones that are pretty much like Spy Changers.
Yes, that's exactly. Gotcha. Spy Changers.
Yeah,
the predecessor of the Spy Changers were a GoBot line.
Yeah, if you guys want to see more of the Transformers GoBots, I did the entire collection. I have reviewed every one of them on my YouTube, so if you guys haven't been there, it's Plasticon 1978 or Plasticon Studios on YouTube. Go check that out. But I've done every single solitary variant of those. I do have some cool things that are coming in the mail pretty soon that are going to be variants that I'll be doing, but that's for a later conversation. But those things were awesome. Very simple transformations and literally harked back to what GoBots were. And that's what exactly. I liked about those things.
Exactly.
And you're talking about late 80s, early 90s technology in here.
Right. I think those came out in the mid-90s.
Right.
That one around here somewhere.
And the funny thing is, and this kind of goes on the same line. I mean, if you look at your standard GoBot, I'm going to transform Smallfoot here. Smallfoot here literally is the size of a Hot Wheel. And the thing is what Tonka and Hasbro and everybody was trying to do during that era, because GoBots were around for a while. These guys were around for a long time, a longer time than most people think. But they were around for a while, even during the G1 and going into the G2. They wanted to compete with Hot Wheels. So what did they do? They made toys. I mean, the GoBots already had the size down. But then Hasbro decided to jump on the same train and make those GoBot variants, which have become Spy Changers and RID, or for those guys who collect the Universe versions, they're smaller.
Right.
And he's holding up right now one of the most obscure and rare items of the GoBot line.
Yeah, this is the GoBot Optimus Prime, and they were made in 94, and these are definitely predecessors to the Spy Changers. Now, they were about the same size as Hot Wheels, and simple transformations, but like I said, this is the thing I loved about it, different than GoBots. Oop, right over here. What is this right here? Came with a gun. So it came with an accessory. Once again, it's nitpicking, but I definitely like the fact that it came with a weapon, as opposed to, well, we'll just make the lasers come out of his hands or whatever, and that way we don't have to make something.
Right, but then, like we were saying, the toys that we got that were GoBots that didn't come with weapons, those came from a line in Japan, so they literally integrated the same toy. Now, when they decided to add in the weaponry and stuff, you want to call it that, that's when they started doing the powered suits, because they were like,
right,
we got to do something to add to it. This was something that was released in Japan already, so all they did was integrate both sets over, change the color schemes, and sold them as GoBots versus them just being straight up machine robo.
Right. Real quick, this was the Japanese version. The Japanese version of the GoBots Prime. And if you look, this is where it becomes interesting. They added a little sticker. Like I said, they'll do different things. They add a little sticker. And
on the card itself.
Right, but then if you look, the coloring, they actually changed a running color change from an orange to almost a yellow on the underside. And then up top, they put a temple on the hood.
And the Japanese one's the one that's got the temple, and the temple says correct. Transformers on the top of it. And right. For you guys,
very, very hard to find.
And if you guys are looking for like a reference, like I said, I did reviews of all of them. My GoBots Soundwave has the same temple on his hood that would have been on Optimus Primes and Megatrons. But those two in the United States did not have temples.
Right.
But still, the Optimus Prime is the most expensive and hardest one to get out of the entire group. Why, I have no idea. It's like, I think
that because he was most
was a popular. Short run. It was a real short run, I believe.
It may have been that, or just that he was more popular, and I want an Optimus Prime. Well, here you go. Here's, $3. I'll go ahead and give my kid that. I mean, those from the 80s, like myself, I remember going I'm gonna go to the grocery store. I don't want to go to the grocery store. I'll buy you a toy. What would they buy you? They bought you a 99-cent Hot Wheel to shut you up. There you go. I want an Optimus Prime. Well, here you go. Here's a $3 Optimus Prime. If you look, it even says right there, $2.99. Kind of hard to see. $2.99. Cheap. Shuts the kid up. So I can see that being a popular character being harder to find.
Right. Because of the wear and tear and just things happening. I mean, I've never seen any of those put on eBay where they've actually been missing parts, because spice changers are actually very difficult to break. Those things are very hard to break.
Yes.
Even with like the GoBot machine robo ones, you rarely ever find them where they're just completely in bits. They might be missing a part here or there, but they're usually still altogether intact where you can actually transform it still into a robot. I mean, I even have a three-wheeler machine robo that's yellow, and he's completely intact. All the parts are there. He was really loose. Even Cyburn can vouch because he saw it. Because that was that day I went to. Me and him met up at Acme, and it was one of the ones out of the lot. But he was all there, completely all there. He might have been beat up, but he was still all there. And that's the thing about the longevity of some of these toys, and the reason why GoBots, aka Machine Robo, has been on the rise lately on pricing. Because people are starting to recognize that these toys are a lost art. They're a lost thing that needs to really come back into play. Which the only time we ever seen anything dealing with GoBots was, I kind of mentioned it earlier, with the oversized play school toys. And I've got several of those. They're very large. I don't have any on my desk right now because I've got a couple of my first Transformer, which kind of goes into that same thing. But a couple of these things are they're for my infant. He loves these things. He actually thinks they're pretty cool. See him always reaching for it. And when he gets older, he'll start to learn how to transform and play with them. But it's the simple fact that that's what they did with the GoBot line. They actually, during the early 2000s, they came out with a set that was pretty much big super deformed things that looked crazy and some crazy colors and didn't really look like a real crazy robot. But
I liked my first Transformers. Those were pretty neat. There were three of them.
Yeah, and these things are very hefty. A lot of people don't understand. You know, it's just the engineering behind these things. This thing is designed to take a tumble down the staircase and still work. And that's where these toy makers nowadays are kind of losing it a little bit when it comes to the stability and the longevity of a lot of these toys. And that's why, you guys see GoBots usually get, they're a little more mistreated. I mean, I've got the space shuttle guy here, and he's loose. Very, very, very loose, but it doesn't matter.
Spacey,
yes. Very loose, but, I mean, that goes into the simple fact that the engineering was there. I mean, yeah, these things might be loose, but if you take it apart, put a little bit of floor wax or nail polish and such in there, you can tighten these joints right back up, and it'll be just like new. And these things took more tumbles and such than, your Transformers did. You guys think about it, how many times you get online and you find an Optimus Prime that's missing a fist or an arm or something. These you rarely ever find where they're missing parts. So just tells you how well built the GoBots really were. So Cyburn, what else do you got out there like dealing with like GoBots other than maybe just the one that you played with?
I mean, for the original line, I think I saw a Psycho once in person at a BotCon. That's about it. I mean, you were talking about those Play School ones that came out in the early 2000s, and I didn't have any of those, but there was a family at my church and their kids had one, and I remember picking one of those things up. Those things were hard to transform. I never could figure out how to transform the one that they had.
Yeah, they had more engineering behind them.
They weren't like the rescue bots where they were, you know, easy to transform. Those things were
right.
Some of them were pains in the butt.
Well, the way those were actually designed, I mean, you gotta think those were the predecessor for the rescue bots we had now. But the predecessor to that was the My First Transformer, which was very cool. But every one of those, if you notice, they could take a tumble and they could take a hit and they could fall and not break and shatter and turn into 5,000 pieces. Like, you know, sorry, but I don't know how many parents out there was going to give like a 4-year-old a G1 Optimus Prime and not expect an arm to get ripped off. It was bound to happen sometimes. That's why sometimes you guys find those broken. But, you know, when a kid's young, you want to give them something that's clunky and large that they can put in their hands. And, you know,
you're right. Everyone's got to have a Tonka dump truck.
A Tonka dump truck. Yes, that's you're true. Absolutely right. And I, when I get moved and situated, my kids are going to have every big, gigantic metal Tonka thing, and they're going to go out in the yard and play. And get dirty. And play in the mud. And dig trenches. Then get a bunch of little plastic army men so that way they can set up a little fight. Because, hey, most of us from the 80s, we did that. We did that all the time. Built roads out in the yard with our Hot Wheels, got them all dirty and left them out there and let them get rusted, and we didn't care. They got beat up, and we brought them back in the house, washed them off, and they were fine.
Or you left them out there like I did.
Then we got bored. Then we got bored with the ones. Yeah, we would have the ones where the wheels would start breaking, so we'd get a rock and crush them.
Stupid thing! I need a junker to stick in my junkyard. And you got this junkyard full of like busted up Matchbox cars and those cheap ones that had like the plastic bottoms and crap.
Yeah.
And then one wheel would break off the Hot Wheel, and then you just take something to shatter all the windows and stuff to make it look like I got in an accident.
Yep.
But I mean, that's what us kids used to do with our toys. But I mean, if you notice, GoBots are kind of lasting the test of time.
They do seem to be lasting better.
Yeah, they seem to be holding up better than a lot of G1 bots. And I am absolutely, you know, as much as I love Transformers and as much as I collect Transformers, I am so on board with the GoBots because these things, they hold together. They got great aesthetics. It's kind of a style that just hasn't gone out of style, if you think about it. There's simple transformations, too. I mean, it's like you can toss a kid a GoBot and have it transformed in a couple minutes. You know,
toss kids.
I toss them out the window. Off the balcony. Into the front yard. Go play. Get them a bunch of cap guns. Laser tag. There you go.
Nice.
Awesome stuff, let me tell you. But I think that's probably going to do it for our GoBot conversation. I don't think there's much more we can actually touch base on until we find some more craziness going on with these guys. But I guess we could go into what stuff we've got coming or stuff we've purchased lately. So we'll go ahead and go into an Ouch My Wallet segment, which I know we haven't done in a long time. But
We might as well.
Ouch My Wallet is brought to you by CapturePrey.com. Great service, great toys, great prices. CapturePrey.com. So, Sidebird, haven't talked to you in a while. What you got?
Not much. Since the last time we've done an Ouch My Wallet, I've gotten exactly one thing.
One thing?
That's one more in my head.
Skywarp.
Oh, nice.
I found him the day before last. Or no. I found him yesterday. It's not tomorrow yet. But yeah, I found him. I found him in all of his casemates. But I decided to only get him because I'm trying to save up some money for, you know, something big.
Something big.
But
well, she said.
But you know, I want to. I've never actually completed a set of Starscream, Thundercracker, and Skywarp before. And I know
until now.
Yeah, I have a chance to now. So I saw Skywarp, had to buy him because I figured he's gonna go fast because he's Skywarp. Everyone's favorite seeker that Hasbro doesn't like to ever give us.
I have yet to figure that out. What is wrong with you, Hasbro? Get your heads out your rear end.
So yeah, I had to pick him up. I wanted to get the Armada Starscream, and I wanted to get Scoop, but both of them, I'm like, both of them can wait. Scoop, I wasn't very impressed with his vehicle mode. It's
literally the G1 vehicle mode that's articulated. That's what it is. Yeah.
And the Starscream looks really good, but
From what I hear, the Starscream one's actually pretty cool, and I'm kind of curious to see what that Jahaxis is going to look like. That's supposed to be coming out of that same mold. I still think they should give him more Batwing looking wings, which would make it look kind of interesting. I dig Jaxxus. I really wish we would have got a G1 version of him. Would have been interesting.
The Jaxxus, I think they showed him at Toy Fair. He didn't look bad. Why is he orange is a good question, but other than that,
Hasbro trying to save money on color. But then again, you got to think half the time when they put those out there, they're prototypes. So sometimes it's not set in stone yet.
Jaxxus has been every figure of him has been orange.
Yeah, what's up with that, Hasbro? He's supposed to be white.
Yeah, that's just this thing, I guess. But yeah, the Armada Starscream looks good. Looks really cool. I'll get it eventually and put it up with my Universe Hotshot. But that's on my everything that doesn't fit anywhere else shelf. And
your dump shelf.
Yeah, it's the remnants of my like Cybertron and movie and Power Core and Titanium's all occupying one shelf because
I think everyone has one of those.
I kind of have a hodgepodge. Shelves. I have a hodgepodge other shelf, but it's primarily Power Core on that shelf because I've got the entire collection. I don't have any of the United ones because I'm not going to pay the money for a bunch of repaints. I'm sorry. Yeah. It's stupid how much they want for those.
Some of them look really cool, but they were way too expensive.
I mean, who wants to pay $60 for one that looks like Devastator?
Yeah, no one wanted
$60 for that thing.
No one wanted to pay $20 for those things.
That's why they went on discount.
And that's where I went haywire and bought almost every one of them because there was times they were double packed. I was like, you know, I got Grimstone, which was Diabob one I was looking for, with the Ice Pick, which was the Snowplow. I didn't have either one. I was like,
yeah,
two pack at Walmart for $10. Hell yeah, give me more.
That's how I got my. That's how I got both Grimstone and. I can't remember the Constructobots' name. Or not Constructobots, Constructicons. I can't remember the name of their combiner.
Yeah, I don't remember the name of the combiners either, but they're really cool. I mean, those who have not touched Power Core, I understand why you didn't like them because of spring-loaded arm gimmicks and such, but the core robot for almost every one of them were pretty solid. Very, very cool.
And the later wave ones, especially Grimstone, and the other, they got better with the arm design. Not so many gangly, like really long arms. Grimstone is the pinnacle of that entire
line
series
line.
Of figures. Yeah, the line of figures. I think he's worth owning by himself.
Right, and the other thing I absolutely loved about the entire line was the little bitty translucent Target Master / Armor Master guys that they gave them, which was a great thing because you used power. They used the little Mini-Con port, so you can use it on all your Armada and stuff. So, I mean, at least they made it a universal thing, and then you can also use them as weapons. And I thought that was an awesome throwback and a great addition to everything else. Because they had the ones that look like gorillas, and I really liked the guy with the gorilla. Because one of the arms was like this big hook arm, and then the other was like this big gigantic Gatling gun. So yeah,
I'm still convinced that set they mixed the names up because they called the helicopter Searchlight, and they called his Mini-Con, what was it now?
I can't remember. I know I did a review of them way back in my old archives, back when I was a noob and I started doing my reviews, and they're not so great, but I will be doing like rehashes of those later. But I know what you mean. The thing I always thought was funny though is because I can imagine that Mini-Con hanging on by its hook hand, you know, trying to, you know, attack this freaking helicopter, and then just have this big gigantic Gatling gun just shooting holes in the side of him while he's hanging on with his hook hand, you know? It's funny, you know? It's great.
So they called the helicopter Searchlight, and his Mini-Con, who turned into it for vehicle mode, turned into actual lights and a winch. They called him Backwind. So in my brain, it says someone mixed something up there. Yeah, the helicopter was supposed to be called Backwind, and
I believe when I did the review for that, I actually did call the helicopter Backwind, and then I called the old dude Searchlight because it made more sense. But you know, if somebody wants to ridicule me on getting the names mixed up, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
but it only makes more sense.
I'm going to ridicule you on making sense.
God. Makes sense? Me? Really?
But why?
Why should I make sense? Anyhow, is that all you got for out from my wallet right now?
Me? Yeah.
All right, Megamus. Throw it at us.
Hasbro.com. Hasbro Toy Shop. My you can't see because it's off. There he is. Finally. I got him in.
Nice.
Finally got you.
I
some
got world. Him.
He finally got some whirl in his life.
That's right.
I'm about, you know, I am tired of waiting for a Rhinox, and I'm about to order
Rhinox is that way. Badass.
I haven't been able to find him anywhere.
Good.
But yeah, he's supposed to be he's supposed to come in a case along with two Rhinox, so I might just break down and
you probably should hold out. You probably find them everywhere.
Yeah, I would think so. But then I purchased something else. I purchased this a while ago, but I was saving it. And
saving it for rainy day, huh? Oh, wow, I hate you.
See?
I absolutely hate you.
There we go.
Right now.
It's just tilted this way.
What is it?
If you guys do not know what this guy is holding in his hand, he is holding a holy grail for probably most Generation 1 Transformer fans. He is holding Big Powered.
That is
the combination of Roadfire, Diatlas, and Sonic Bomber. It is probably one of the greatest combination base mode gimmick battery powered things that they had ever released, and it is just wonderful.
Now, here's the thing I didn't know about. Let me try and find. Okay, because he's close. We all know how big he is. Grimlock.
G1 Grimlock. Yep.
G1. All right. See if I can do this.
He's a good size figure.
Yeah,
seeing him to scale with
this will show you how big this thing is. Problem is you can't see all of it, but I put him down at the bottom. There you go.
Yeah, I mean, Diatlas himself.
I mean, it's huge. This thing is.
Yeah, it's ginormous. What he's holding up right now is the combination mode and jet mode.
There you go.
It's funny because Grimlock can ride on the back of this ginormous jet and still look like he is not out of scale.
There you go. Look at that. Look at that. It is big.
Suck it, Optimus Prime.
So, yeah. I was very happy. That was my holy grail. And, of course, now I have
a
new one, but that was my holy grail. I actually got that the same time I got Grandis. So I got rid of two holy grails at once.
You're a very lucky man. You have beat me to the punch on those. I had Grandis before you, though.
Yeah. Yep, yep. I just got him recently. But, no, I was really excited to get this. And this is one of those ones that, in my opinion, the combined mode is more impressive than the alt-robot modes of all three. Just the combined mode of this is so impressive how big it is.
Right.
It's just awesome.
Well, a lot of guys out there that probably aren't really familiar with these, Roadfire turned into it's basically like a battle tank. Then he has robot mode. Then he has an alternate battle base mode. And then he has a combination mode where he plugs into Diatlas in the rear, which basically becomes like...
You said rear.
An extra thruster. Yeah, I know, that's what she said, right? A thruster for the rear end of Diatlas. Now, Diatlas has the same gimmick. Diatlas turns into more than that. Diatlas turns into a tank. He turns into a jet. He turns into a base. He turns into a robot. And then he also turns into the middle of this gigantic jet. So he technically has five different modes.
Right.
And not to mention he has a battery-powered gimmick. You turn him on, he's just like a Star Convoy, if any of you guys are familiar with that. He's got these treads that make him run forward and backward. And then you got Sonic Bomber, which turns into a jet, turns into a robot, and also turns into a base mode.
Right.
But then he also combines with Diatlas at the front. So, and the crazy thing is all three of them come with a minicon. An exclusive minicon that you cannot get anywhere else.
Let's see if I can remember which ones.
I know one of them looks like a drill, which came with Roadfire.
There's fire, a drill.
Which is a little drill tank, little blue drill tank.
With a little black car.
And the little black car came with Sonic Bomber.
And what was the other one?
And it's a little bitty, it's like a futuristic white car. It's just straight up white. It's a lot like one of the it's a lot like one of the little MicroMasters that you get already. It's basically a white variant of, I'm guessing,
most of them.
It's the yellow Decepticon one.
Yeah, and then I had these other two also, but I think this one goes with Grandis, I think.
No, the missile launcher tank that you're holding in your hand.
This one goes
the
with
first Grandis. One. Yeah, the police car variant goes to Grandis, and the...
This one goes to Sky Gary.
Right, the tank with missiles on the back goes to Sky Gary. And both of those are white, by the way, guys.
Yeah.
They're very obscure, and they're exclusive. You can't get those with any other one. And then you got Star Convoy that comes with a version of a MicroMaster that...
Of Hot Rod.
Hot Rod.
Yeah.
And that's what's crazy about all those big-powered versions, and they all come with exclusive ones that you can't get in any other kind of lot. It's kind of like when you buy Metro Titan. Metro Titan comes with a Sky Stalker that is not purple, but black. I got it on the shelf, but I'm not going to grab them right now. But it's a very, very cool little MicroMasters. And like he was saying, that thing is a grail for most people. Like everybody was like, Fortress Maximus is my holy grail. That one, I think, is more sought after than Fort Max ever was, honestly.
Well, it was one of those things that it was popular enough that a lot of people wanted it, but it was also obscure enough that not everyone wanted it. So it didn't have the notoriety that Fort Max had. But it's definitely
harder. It's obscure enough that I don't even know what it was.
There you go.
Right. And now Diatlas, I know for a fact, Diatlas has a high-quality KO version of him that's come out. And there was a variant of that Diatlas that came out that's orange, black, and white that came out during the Brave Series line. Because it was toward the tail end of all those.
Which
he happens to have the high quality KO version right here in his hands that he's holding up.
Yeah, that and it's
there's slight differences on that one.
I mean, you can feel the difference. It's not as heavy, so you know the quality is a little less. But to be honest with you,
that's
the difference in prices. I mean, this is way more cheaper. Way more.
It's much cheaper, but it's also a quality KO version. It's not a crappy one. No. It still has all the electronics. It still works just like the original.
And so, I'm trying to find...
And you probably know what I'm talking
about. The MicroMaster is actually gray. It's an all-gray version of this guy right here. All gray. So that's the big tall tale to sign. This is white for the original. The knockoff is all gray.
And I'm going to bring up a picture of the variant colored one that I was telling you about. And he is black and red. This one's
also called Satan.
Well, they don't call this one Satan. This is from the Brave Series line. For a lot of you guys out there that don't know much about Brave. Brave is basically the Brave is what happened to all the Transformers after people quit buying them pretty much in the United States and went to Beast Wars. Japan kept going with a Transformers kind of vibe and then sold it, you know, to a different company, and now this is why we got Brave Series figures. This particular one though is very, very obscure and very rare to find. But it does have all the same gimmicks, and it's a very cool looking one. I actually dig the colors on this one a little more than the original. But there's the jet mode, here's the tank mode, and then you come down here and there's the base mode. And this actually comes with the little white MicroMaster as well. So if you don't have the money to try to, you know, get a hold of a big powered like the original, you might be lucky to find this one. But this one here is just up there in price as well. I mean, obviously right now, this guy's buy it now, he's winning like $500 for it. But I'm sure he's had several offers and several people's probably tried to get this thing off him a lot cheaper. But these are the more obscure Transformers that have come out that are very hard to get. And thanks to Brett, we're on this train now.
Hey, you asked.
Not complaining, because a lot of people are not very familiar with a lot of the MicroMaster bases and the big powered stuff and what is the big hype behind all that and such.
Well, I'm going to start off just real quick, because I just now unboxed my Whirl. And there he is, okay? And do you happen to notice anything?
No.
We don't have those biodegradable bands that they used to have.
They rubber bands?
No. They. God, can you see it?
Are they using the wire again? They're,
you know, when you buy clothes and they have the little price tag on it and they stick it through the clothing and it has a little, like a T?
Mm-hmm.
Can you see that?
The plastic clips?
Yeah.
Wow.
They went to these now.
Hmm.
See if I can flip it around and see the back.
That's interesting.
Yeah. It's the first thing I noticed. That means you have to cut these. You have to cut every one of these.
That's weird. Have they actually had a problem with people stealing them out of the box?
I don't know. Or this is this cheaper? That's what I'm looking at. I guarantee it's because it was cheaper.
Probably cheaper and more efficient, because you think about it, when we were complaining about those little paper things, those paper things are rolled. Yeah, and it looked like they probably had to have a machine that probably rolled them really tight so that way they can snip them off and use them to tie the things in. And this just looks like all you do is stick a T through one end.
Yep.
but you got this clipper thing, you just pull it down and then snap it off and then move on. So they probably had a machine that does that now instead. And it's probably cheaper and more efficient, considering they can probably process their own plastic there versus having to import more.
I have clipped all ties since the beginning of time. Not really.
I told you.
With this trusty tie clipper.
These are awesome.
The trusty tie clipper, aka fingernail clipper.
Yeah, I got a pair of nippers here that I use. They're spring loaded. You guys can hear that. Spring loaded nippers. Oh, I love
Take your nippers off.
Did you say nippers or knickers?
Nippers.
Nippers.
Oh. Nippers. I call them nippers.
Hey, you've got spring loaded knickers.
Knickers, huh?
Alrighty then.
I got some knickers. Anyway. That's for a different cast.
Well,
not this one.
To make stand.
So, are the stickers done just like the old G.I. Joe stickers? Are they clear?
It doesn't come with stickers, does it?
It should.
It has a sticker sheet.
Apparently, this comes with a sticker sheet that it was designed by the same guys that G.I. Joe did.
You know
what I'm talking about.
Folks, just so you know, here is the instruction booklet. No plastic. It's not, it's just loose in there. And you open it up. And hidden in here is a sticker sheet.
It looks like they're printed on translucent plastic.
It is. It is clear plastic.
Nice. That is straight up hey, you guys loved your G.I. Joes. Well, here you go.
Yeah, but it'd be nice if they would have let me know it was in this little damn thing before I threw it aside.
Thing I said something, otherwise you would have been like, oh, throw this away, and then
it would have went in the instruction bin, which I never look at.
Mine will go stickerless.
He goes digging through about 4 months later when he finds out that damn thing's supposed to have stickers.
Yeah. Like, what the fuck?
Now, just a heads up, Roadbuster is supposed to be the same way. From what I hear, Roadbuster is actually being packaged the same way because it's supposed to be that whole line of those toys that came out for the Mike Gine, I want to say, was the company that used I'm trying to remember what the hell the company called them, but I do know for a fact that they're trying to hark back to the original toy when they did that. That's why they released Whirl looking more like his G1 self with like a slight tweak with some IDW vibe to it, and the same thing with Roadbuster. It's coming out,
and that's why the new leader class is going with the Jetfire is going with the the original toy jet mode instead of the show.
Right, and I'm thinking, I've been sitting here, sitting back, just thinking. I believe what Hasbro had on the plate was like, okay, we're going to make this Jetfire, but let's take the weapons and make all that stuff removable in case Harmony Gold doesn't, in case our little lawsuit doesn't win. And the second that happens, what do they do? They slap that on there and stick it out there on the market, and then there you go. Suck it, Harmony Gold, because you guys do nothing but, from what I hear, like real estate or some crap like that now is what they do too, and I'm like, why are you even talking about your toy business? You guys did, your Robotech thing, and that's gone now. Go away,
Yeah, but Robotech was awesome.
Robotech was cool. I'm not knocking Robotech. I love the toy line and everything out of the 80s, but it's like if you're not doing anything with the license, just sell it to a company that will, and then you guys can make more money instead of trying to hang on to a dying animal. You're killing your own baby here. You're making other companies mad about it. That's why you also have that removable helmet that's supposed to be on the new Jetfire as well, which is straight up freaking Robotech. That helmet looks very Robotech. So, as much as I'm myself have been getting out of the Generations line, there's a lot of you guys out there that's been following me on Facebook and Twitter and stuff like that. You guys see me putting up photos and stuff of some stuff I've been getting rid of. I've been getting rid of a lot of Energon figures and Armada. I do have some Generation stuff I'm kind of getting out of because my G1 and G2 collection are getting way too big on top of having a few...
That'll happen.
GoBots and such, so it's like I've got to downsize and get rid of some stuff, so I'm cutting ties with certain lines. I might start picking up the animated line. I've been working on possibly getting some of them. But honestly, at the moment right now, I don't have anything new to show you guys. Well, I guess since last time we talked, I don't know if I brought this up the last time where I was on, but I did get doing a custom for a buddy of mine. I was doing a Generation 2 version of Computron. And some of you guys don't know or seen my photos for it. Just go check it out on my Plasticon fan page. You can actually literally type that into Facebook and you'll find it. Just if you want to be part of the group, just ask and I'll add you. But you guys will see that I was posting pictures of the Computron. And the Computron that I did, I got a complete quick switch out of. And I love this thing. There's some people that completely hate the quick switch because he is kind of derpy looking. But I actually dig him. I think he's a really, really cool robot. He's very clicky. I think he's more solid than Six Shot, honestly. But I remember playing with a Six Shot when I was a kid, and I never owned one, but then I got a KO version of a Six Shot in that's done up and looks like a cross between Brave and your... what was his name? God. Great Shot colors. Yeah, Great Shot colors. And the quality is okay. I do want to give you guys kind of a heads up because I did get this from Ghost Hell. Ghost Hell does a very good job about telling you about the quality of this product. And he did say this in his slightly, it has some slight brittleness. I'll be honest with you, I had to take this thing apart and shave a few things down to make things work. But the blue plastic on this is very brittle, just to let you know. It's almost like GPS, which sucks. But after doing some slight engineering torques, and you guys knowing me, all my crazy customization, I made it so that way he transforms okay, but I got to be still really, really careful with him. He does have nice chrome wings, which is pretty cool, which are gold, which I do like. But, I mean, this is really the only iteration I've got of Six Shot at the moment, but I'm soon, hopefully I'll be acquiring another one. So that way I'll actually have a real Six Shot, and then I'm going to work on getting a Six Knight if I can ever get one. Because I really want a Six Knight to go with a Quick Switch here. It'd be kind of cool to have his color variant. But that's pretty much about the only thing I've gotten, like, recently. I've got more stuff coming in. Just don't have it on there right now. But I think that's all we're going to have for tonight's show. Still trying to figure out what we're going to do on Friday. I don't know what we got going on Friday. You guys know what we're talking about Friday?
There's a potential for the Brave Punches.
Brave, yes.
Possibly the Brave thing. More than likely you guys are going to hear me on there, depending on what goes on. I might not be able to make it, but the Brave line is actually a really cool line. For you guys out there that want to listen to the Friday cast and know what we're talking about, just check out Takara Brave or Yusha Brave or Yusha DX. You can check some of that stuff out on eBay, Google, YouTube. Just check some of the stuff out, and you'll be able to figure out what we're talking about. There's a lot of the line that came from Transformers that trickled into that. You guys have probably heard Duran talk about Sky Gary being repainted red as Death Gary gun, stuff like that. Well, there's a lot of that going on there. But that's for a whole new cast that's going to be on Friday. So you guys stay tuned for that. This has been Transformers for your listening pleasure. And I have been Plasticon. Cyberning, anything to say?
Yep.
Yep. Megamus.
Peace out.
And we will catch you guys next time on Transformers Realistic Pleasure. You guys have a good night.
Night, everybody.
This has been Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening. And we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.